You may have concluded by now that I approach the scripture texts in a mostly pragmatic sort of way. While I do think that there are some stories we can take at face value, I find the Bible, on the whole, requires a deeper, more critical reading in order to discover the wisdom in these words of God. This collection of ancient writings is demanding to the reader. We're expected to actively go in search of God. "Seek and you shall find," says the Lord. And God is always ready to be found. Reading the Bible, for me, is more like panning for gold. Each week we're given a small piece of a much larger meta-narrative, and we must swirl it around and consider the different angles to reveal that golden nugget of wisdom that God has placed in there for us to find. Today's lessons draw our attention to a particular nugget of gold. It's called integrity, the attitude and approach that we can choose to guide our interactions with everyday life. Integrity is that aspect over ourselves which we can exert total control. We don't always get to choose where we come from or the kind of upbringing that formed us. We do have a little control over the conditions in which we currently live. We have a lot of control over maintaining our optimal health in our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state. But, you know, sometimes stuff happens. Integrity, on the other hand, is entirely our choice, regardless of the situations that we may find ourselves in. This morning, we have two examples of what prioritizing one's own integrity looks like in the face of challenging situations. We see how two different people, in two different contexts, maintain their own differentiation from the prevailing pressure to follow the crowd, which we readers can see will ultimately be detrimental to them. The first example comes from the first lesson. The nature of Job's integrity is seen in the details. Today's passage opens with a conversation between God and Satan, where God seems to have beset Job with adversities. But further down the text, we hear God giving Satan power over Job. From this much of the Job story, it would appear that Satan is behind all of Job's further afflictions. In verse 7, we read, "Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores upon Job." Shortly thereafter, Job's wife tries to compel Job to curse God for the situation he finds himself in. His wife advised him, "Curse God and die." Job's wife was not aware of the source of Job's afflictions. She makes a big assumption with no evidence. She places the blame on the wrong supernatural being. A more modern understanding of that moment might be to describe this as misplaced anger. Have you ever been blamed for something that you didn't do? Have you ever mistakenly put the blame for something on the wrong person? Job chooses not to take his wife's advice. Instead, he chooses a more considered approach. Instead, he decides to put his effort and his attention toward the things that he is able to do and what he can exert control over in that particular moment. You know, the serenity prayer comes to mind here. Job accepts the things that he cannot change and acts with courage upon the things that he can do something about and relies on his wisdom to discern the choice that he makes. Job's personal integrity tells him to withhold blame and cursing. He could have cursed. He could have complained greatly, wagging his sore-covered finger toward the heavens. But what good would that have done him? Job chooses to conduct himself differently through this ordeal. God has already identified Job as unique among humankind. He is blameless and upright. He turns away from evil In the latter verses of today's passage, Job conducts himself with the same persistent integrity that God observed in him at the beginning of the passage. I think if Job thought that blaming God for all of his suffering would fix it, he would have complained all day long. But Job doesn't react from anger. He responds from wisdom. Integrity is the practice of honest, consistent, and uncompromising adherence to a set of moral and ethical principles and values. Boy, that's a mouthful of a definition, isn't it? Some would say that integrity is what guides our actions based on this metric. How would you feel if what you're about to do today ends up headlining the news tomorrow? Job has spent his life building up the nature of his integrity, acting in a way that is honest, consistent, and uncompromising. Among the features he develops is avoiding the blame game. Blame may feel somehow vindicating in the moment, but it really works to underscore a victim mentality. Blame doesn't solve anything, and Job refuses to play the victim's role. Integrity in the Hebrew Scriptures teaches us how to maintain ourselves in challenging situations. It's no easy task to maintain such control, particularly when pain is involved. Sometimes it just feels better to lash out. Sometimes, in a safe space, that can be helpful. For Job, the way he conducts himself gives us a standard to consider when we're in positions to place blame or to play the victim. We learn that neither of these actions gets us closer to resolving the situation. We can look to Job as a standard bearer for maintaining our composure, for keeping the focus on the situation directly on the situation, and putting our energy towards those things that we can actually act upon. The lectionary gives us another example of integrity in the gospel. When it comes to tricky scripture passages, this one is near the top of the list. Divorce is one of the most painful experiences anyone can undergo, no matter how equitable the dissolution may be. The intertwining of lives creates deep roots in the heart. The pulling up on those roots can leave deep holes. Many have been shamed and excluded because of a divorce, which only adds unnecessary and unreasonable pain. Bringing up the topic of divorce, especially in church, is a good way to put people on their heels. Right off the bat, the context of the scripture passage puts us all on the defensive. In this example, we find the Pharisees bringing Jesus a hypothetical question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Just a man could be any man, and any wife could be anyone, not looking at anyone in the room. The Pharisees are looking for a way to trap Jesus. We know that hypothetical questions are a form of baiting. When it's hypothetical, the resolution is a constantly moving target that can easily be kept out of the reach of the responder. The result is that no answer is capable of satisfying those who ask the question. Jesus doesn't let the Pharisees get away with this strategy, though. He sees the bait and turns it back on them. Jesus responds by asking, "What did Moses command you?" Notice that he doesn't ask what Moses commands of the hypothetical man seeking to divorce his hypothetical wife. The Pharisees, however, are insistent that their game continue. So they answer with, "A man can write a certificate of dismissal." The game is afoot, or so they think. Jesus isn't here to play games. He knows there are actual lives of actual people impacted by actual divorces. Jesus cares about people. He keeps his pressure on the Pharisees. He says, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you." It's because of their hardness of heart that they're asking this question in the first place. They're Pharisees. They already know the answer. And Jesus gets them to admit it. So the question they ask about divorce is more about how they can continue to turn their backs on vulnerable people than it is about God's loving desire for humankind. Their question is about them, not some hypothetical man and his hypothetical wife. Jesus' integrity is both for himself, not allowing others to manipulate his response, and for his community. He keeps finding ways to bring people inside who have been rejected. Every time vulnerable people are pushed out, whether it's by hypothetical questions or speaking sternly to the women and children in the room, Jesus draws those deemed less desirable closer to him and calls out the mean people for their selfishness and hardness of heart. Jesus' integrity is strong enough to serve others as well as himself. Do you know what it's like to be on the business end of someone's hypothetical question? We who value community and relationships as much as we do will always find ourselves on the defensive in such situations, because the nature of such hypothetical questions conflicts with our desire to stay in relationship with our fellow human being. Jesus demonstrates how to slip such entrapping questions without making the situation difficult or worse. It's no easy skill to master, and Jesus is divine, so he's a hard act to follow anyways. However, he's also fully human and functions in this situation without the aid of supernatural powers to overcome adversity, such as he uses in the storm at sea. This self-differentiation that Jesus demonstrates in the pericope today is a learnable skill for all of us mere mortals. It takes practice. It takes patience with ourselves when we don't execute perfectly every single time. And it deserves an inner pat on the back when we are able to do it successfully. The lessons for today offer us a couple examples of integrity for our consideration. When it comes to developing this personal quality, practice is key. Maybe for Jesus, he came fully equipped with it. But for Job and all the other examples in the scriptures, it takes practice. It takes patience to shift the texts for those golden nuggets of wisdom for our faith journey. God has indeed placed gifts in the scriptures for us to discover. Careful reading and observation, as well as integrating wisdom into our daily activities, is the demand of the Word of God. Integrity is just one golden nugget of wisdom. There are many such treasures in the scriptures, and I encourage you to go looking for them, because seek and you shall find, says the Lord, and that is good news.